have an army. We have a Hulk.
Welcome to episode 150 of We Have Hulk podcast, where we talk all things film and TV. I'm one half of the podcast, Nicola.
And I'm co-pilot Chris.
And what are we going to be talking about in this week's episode then, Chris?
Right, Nicola, we've got Home of the Hulks, where we'll be talking about what we've been watching, doing, and reading since our last episode. And then we've got our review of Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
And we might have something, a little surprise in the episode.
Okay, maybe.
We'll see. Yes.
I see. Interesting.
Okay, let's kick things off with At Home in the Hulks then. What have you been watching and doing?
Right. Well, TV-wise, I've been watching the usual suspects, Bake Off, Strictly, you know. I'm watching some Jürgen Flergens.
Do love me some Jürgen.
Jürgen's great. And Giuseppe, he's fun.
What did you think of the Free From week?
Free From. Can't really remember what they
sausage baked. Rolls. The sausage rolls.
The ones that fell on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good that they do that. Mm-hmm. It's good that they do that. But, yeah.
I don't think it's ever a very good week for them.
No. They're not used to that stuff.
No.
So, yeah, fair play.
Okay.
Strictly, we watched What We Do in the Shadows, season 3.
Fucking guy.
Nando.
Oh,
I like
him. Good.
I really like Matt Berry's.
Oh, yes.
His voice is incredible.
What so was what were you saying this morning?
Fuck off, Colin Robinson.
He's got such a distinctive voice, hasn't he? Obviously from the IT Crowd. And yeah. Oh, it's so good. So what did you think of season 3? Because it all landed on a BBC iPlayer in one whole go, which was amazing. It was like Christmas. Come early. Yes.
I enjoyed the crap out of it. It was a lot of fun. And I like where they left it as well. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the end.
Kind of. It? Yeah.
So I'm hoping they continue it.
Are they going to do... Is the next season going to be the last season? I'm intrigued because it does kind of feel like they're setting up for a...
Like they was... Well,
Don't want to spoil anything. But yes, what did you think? So they were... Nando and Nadia were the new leaders of the Vampiric Council.
Yeah.
Because Laszlo was like, fuck this. Right. He was like, I cannot be bothered with this.
Nope.
And then you had the whole throne debacle where Guillermo was like, oh, I'll whisper in their ears. And he ended up on the throne, which is hilarious. Dance routine. Like, again. What did you think of the new additions in this series? Because we had the lady from Flight of the Conchords, right?
Oh, yeah. She was great.
She was so fun. Funny. And she seemed to like Guillermo, interesting.
Yeah, she's interesting. And thingy on the VT.
Yes, Taika Waititi.
Yeah, good stuff.
Very good stuff. Doug Jones was actually in it. I did not know that. He was the Baron. You know who they may have found again.
Cupped.
Yes, so. He's very good at becoming things, isn't he?
I mean, he's so covered in makeup that you would never know.
True. But what was your? Did you have a favourite bit from the series? Or
I liked that Colin Robinson had his own arc.
Oh, it was so nice, wasn't it? I mean, yeah, because the whole trying to find out about energy vampires and where they came from and stuff. Yeah.
I just like that Laszlo. I like that he just didn't care about anything.
Felt like and they became friends, up to a new level. And oh, that was quite sweet. And the bit with the car was funny when they couldn't get the car out of the the library, and then the lady from Flight of the Conchords just pushed the button, and the carriage roof lifted.
Yes, it's just very funny. I enjoyed all of it.
Oh, I think I liked the bit where Nando liked the lady from the gym, and then he couldn't talk to her, so obviously different people went and spoke to her with the cloak, the special cloak. That was really funny.
How do they come up with all these concepts?
I have no idea. But also, the best bit, I think, for me, Nadia and the doll. That doll is so cute. And they had that argument. And they were...
I can't even remember how the doll happened.
No.
I remember it, but I can't remember how it happened. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, it's very, very good. I have loved this season.
Good stuff. Cobra Kai season 4.
Yes.
We can't talk about it. I've just realised.
But we've watched 2 episodes and very exciting stuff, I would say.
Excited for more. The World According to Jeff Goldblum. Mm,
I like this show.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
It's just nice, light-hearted entertainment and, you have to like Jeff Goldblum, but if you do, then it's a lot of fun.
So this is the second season, right? I think all of it, I think there's about five episodes, landed on Disney Plus Day, which was Friday. And yes, first one we watched was Dogs, which was really cute. But yeah. There was a chihuahua that did not like him at all. Poor little thing.
I feel like he gets right jumpy as well. Yeah.
Second episode was Dance, which was quite funny. And then we had episode 3, Magic, which we've just started. And I think, what are they called? Penn and Teller?
I think they
pop up. So it's fun stuff. I do like it.
Yeah, it's just
a bit of fun, isn't it?
Quite low effort. Just enjoyable watch.
Indeed.
Lock and Key, season 2.
Yeah. So what are you, because this is one of your favourite graphic novels, so how are you finding season 2?
It's like the only graphic novel I've read, isn't it, really?
So, pretty much, yeah. You should have all of them.
Yeah, I think season 1 didn't quite click with me. It was a little bit too teen drama-y. And I feel like the story, they kind of moved the story around a little bit too much, maybe in an unnecessary way. I think this season is a bit more back to
what it should be.
There's a little bit less of the kind of YA stuff going on. Yeah, I think it's been honed more correctly.
Okay. I've been really interested to see new keys and also trying to create keys, which has been intriguing. Also, there's a really intriguing thread about, I'm saying intriguing a lot, I'm sorry, about the differences between children and adults when it comes to remembering the keys. And
it's just a really great concept, isn't it?
Yes.
They're doing a good job with it. I'm enjoying the season. We have to finish the rest of it. How many have we watched? Like 2 or 3 episodes?
We've watched 4.
Okay.
So we're a steady chunk through it.
Yeah. Yeah, this one definitely feel like it's following the story more closely to the head key one.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh no, Crown Shadows. Or maybe it's just mixed them up. I'm not even sure. It's been so long since I read them. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, we're watching Critical Role, Campaign 3, which just started.
Oh my gosh, they are so long though, aren't they?
Four hours
per episode, which I'm not complaining about because obviously it's great to get that much D&D, but it's hard to kind of schedule it in, isn't it?
Yeah, it's usually something we just throw on at the end of the evening. Like we're working on other things, perhaps, or it's just quite nice.
I am enjoying Fresh to Cut Grass. That character is quite amusing.
Yeah, I like all their characters in this. I feel like in the previous campaign, some of the voices were a little bit grating, perhaps.
Oh. Okay.
And I just really like the setting of this one. I think it's quite cool. So
I really like the warlocky, creepy magician thingy. Great. She's really good. She's very sinister.
Nordner or something.
Mm.
I like Bertrand as well. There's some really great characters.
They had a really good battle in the last one as well. They came pretty close to total party wipeout.
TPKs. So we've got about 10 minutes left of episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'll be a new one on Monday. Yay! So we can get back into that. Cool, so you've been watching some things as well.
I have. I'll quickly run through these. So you season 3. And this really is just a trashy Dexter. And I'm here for it. So much fun. I think it's definitely better in season 3 because there's an interesting dynamic between him and his wife, and they have a child. And there's like a central, not case, but a central murder.
Central arc.
Yes, it's very intriguing. I'm very much enjoying it.
Okay, fair play. I don't think this is one for me.
No, definitely. But you love Dexter, don't you?
I did. I liked it back in the day. It didn't end well.
We do have a new Dexter. Yes, which we may watch.
We're going to watch it, but we'll see when.
Yes. Also, Dope Sick. So I've watched the first 3 episodes of this. This dropped on Disney Plus Day. So the first 2 episodes you can watch now on Disney Plus. It's a fantastic drama. Definitely not what you'd associate with. I think it's like a FX drama in America, and obviously that comes to Star in the UK, doesn't it? But it's honestly star-studded. You got Michael Keaton. Oh, I can see them in my face. Rosario Dawson. I can
see them in my face.
In my head. In my face. It's a really good cast. It's a very intense drama, though. So it's basically about Big Pharma in America and how they market things and how they sell drugs. And it's apparently the case is still going on right now. The Perda, I think, the ones who created Oxy. oxytocin? Is that what it's called? Oxytocin?
Oxytocin.
Something like that.
Some sort of oxy.
Yeah, basically they heralded it as this miracle drug that it was all about pain, and because there's a pain like endemic in America at the moment, something. Right. And they marketed this as like the new miracle drug that lasted for a whole 12 hours and it wasn't addictive.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So it's just the way how basically America buys their way
so
into...
so consumerist that it's they even allow advertising drugs.
Yes.
That shouldn't be a thing.
It should not be a thing. I mean...
doctors should just tell you, you need this drug.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't be able to...
Yeah, and how they wheedle their way into actual hospitals and doctors, and it's very, very creepy. But it was a really good one. Really good one to watch if you're into dramas.
Magic that one out. It's interesting.
Dickinson season 3. Sorry, I forgot to tell you about this one. Last season for Dickinson, Hedy Steinfeld. I love this. It's so good. Obviously, it's about Emily Dickinson and her life, but it's a very sort of new twist on it because it's not what you might think for like a period drama. This one's been about like the American Civil War. And her lady friend and her brother and the family. Yeah, it was a really good ending. I thought I very much enjoyed it.
Cool.
And also The Shrink Next Door, which is the latest Apple TV Plus TV series. And I had to stop watching this. It was too sad. So if you look at the cast, so it's Paul Rudd, voted the sexiest man alive, apparently.
Sure.
Will Ferrell. And then you got Catherine Hahn. Yes. And basically it's about this guy who's like the nicest and sweetest guy ever.
On the face of it, you'd look at that cast and say, this is going to be incredible.
Exactly. Funny. It's going to be like a comedy. It's based on a podcast, if I remember rightly. Okay. And it's like this, you'd think like a dramedy, right? But it's not funny. There's like little bits of funny. It's just too bad. Okay. Maybe it's because I relate to Will Ferrell's character. He's like super nice. People walk all over him. He has like panic attacks and things. And I was like, oh, poor guy. And then the shrink he goes to talk to realizes he's rich and then starts to sort of steal his money and stuff and persuade him to do things.
Skip that one. Completely nice.
Yes. So it's a difficult one because the cast is great, but it's not. It's hard to know what it's trying to be. Is it a drama? Is it a comedy? It's neither of the others, really. I just don't know. Cool. So films. Should we start with Red Notice?
Let's. I mean, obviously we've seen Ghostbusters, but we'll be talking about that shortly. Red Notice. Yes.
This is supposedly Netflix's biggest budget yet for a action blockbuster. Okay. Which is surprising, right?
I mean, it does have a lot of locations and stuff.
I think the budget went to the cast, if I'm honest. So we've got Dwayne Johnson, we've got Ryan Reynolds, and we've got Gal Gadot. So obviously three of some of the biggest Hollywood stars ever, right? At the moment. So I kind of went into this thinking, I watched the trailer and I was like, okay. But I'll watch it for the stars because obviously they're really good and really charismatic. Woo boy. So yeah, what were your thoughts of this?
Yeah, no, the same. when it started, it just seemed so bad to me. I don't know what it was. I did get into it. I enjoyed the kind of action stuff and the story and everything. And I really like Ryan Reynolds. He's Ryan Reynolds.
He plays the same character in every single film.
Yeah, I feel like there were moments where he was trolling us as well.
For sure.
He mentioned. But yeah, no, I thought it was an enjoyable film. It's okay. It's fine. it tries to be everything, doesn't it? And it's like a pastiche of like all these different movies, and
yeah, so it wants to be like Indiana Jones, it wants to be exactly. Also like Hitman's Bodyguard, because you've got the old couple that join to take down another arts person, and yes. I also put in my review, it felt like an AI came out with the script. Yes. They were like, oh, let's look at all the algorithms. What are people watching now?
This is the next moment. We'll add that in.
Yes. Yeah. We'll put a reference here to that. We'll add this in there too. We'll have a really weird musical cameo. That is awful. Right. Sure. And also Great British Bake Off reference, because why not? Because I can see Gal Gadot really watching Bake Off. I don't know. It's weird. I mean, it's okay.
I had fun with it. It's kind of like a Fast and Furious or something, right? It's turn your brain off and just, you know, go along with it.
Exactly.
It's fun enough.
I think if the charisma wasn't there between the cast, then it would have been a huge flop. Yes. Right. And it only really gets good when the action adventure starts kicking in. They sort of go, as you said, there's like loads of globe hopping things. Yeah. But I mean, for the amount of money they spent on it, some of the effects just looked awful. And you could tell it was like green screen. Sure. And I don't know. Obviously sounding that I really didn't enjoy this film, but it was okay. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It's like just... the critic in you wants to say, this is awful.
Yes.
But the kind of the watcher, the viewer, wants to say, I had fun with it. So
it's one of those, it's a very bland, generic, I kind of hate
that we're still doing the dumb fun thing, like
if you like something just like it.
I think something can be fun and it can also be quite intelligent and like engaging and stuff, but whatever.
Yes,
that's what we got, and you know what, it was okay.
Yes, watch it at your peril. It's on Netflix. Yeah. Okay, we also watched King Richard at the Cineworld Unlimited screening. What did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I guess, you know, sport isn't really my thing and stuff, so I was kind of like, yeah. But I'm also kind of, I was thinking while I was watching it, like, it's kind of strange that he planned their lives out before they were even born, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that, really. Mm. I mean, it's kind of okay because they were on board with it. But what if they hadn't been on board with it?
What, you know what I mean? What happens if they weren't good at tennis?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and what is the maybe the message is just like if you plan it from a young age and like anyone can be a star kind of thing, or was it just literally like the right people at the right time, kind of. It's an interesting one for sure.
Mm.
He's an interesting guy, isn't he?
Okay, so it's Will Smith, wasn't it? And the whole film was about obviously Venus and Serena Williams and their dad Richard, who taught them, coached them, managed to get them to have coaches, famous coaches somehow with his persistence and his videos. And yeah, he was definitely an interesting one.
Character.
Yeah, definitely an interesting character. What did you think of Will Smith though?
Yeah, he's great. He's always great. I love Will Smith. He's got the charisma to carry off anyone, doesn't he? Really.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did feel like he was very single-minded, though, and, like, he was only looking out for them, wasn't he? Which is fair enough, like, it's his family, but, like, he would
sort of steamroll
everyone else, wouldn't he, in order to get to where he was going, which is a bit much, really, but...
Yeah, I thought, to be honest, newcomers, you had Sunia Sidney and Demi Singleton as the young Serena and Venus, and they were absolutely fantastic. I think they kind of almost pipped Will Smith in performances.
Yeah.
And the way that they, I mean, obviously they had to be tennis players to get the role, right? Because they were amazing. And some of the scenes that they filmed, I really am a fan of sports biopics. I don't know why. Mm. I always just find them very inspirational, but then they always make you feel like, oh, what have I done with my life? I'm a lazy bitch. Sort of thing. Sure. It was really, really good. It was tense, which I really enjoyed. It was an interesting look at how they became the greats, really, wasn't it? And I really liked the bit at the end where they do this quite a lot, don't they, in biopics and things, where they show you what it was like in real life. And Will Smith just became that role. He was phenomenal. So I can definitely see this getting a lot of awards buzz, I think. Yes. And for me, I very much loved this. It was a 5-star film for me, I think. Okay. I'm surprised that you were so lukewarm.
I guess usually I like this kind of thing. Like, I like Hidden Figures and that kind of stuff. That's really cool. Mm. But that's more my kind of topic, like space and stuff.
True, yes.
Tennis.
But you liked Eddie the Eagle. That was about skiing.
That was more of a funny one.
Okay, there's a bit of a drama, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like underdogs though, wasn't it? I love a good underdog story.
It was good. I just probably wouldn't rate it quite as high as you.
Okay. Wow. Eternals. How do we how do we broach this then, huh?
So Eternals. What do we say about Eternals? I felt it was a little slow.
That's a bit of an understatement.
I feel like there was a lot of introduction they had to do on this because it's a very complicated world.
Yes.
So there was a lot of world building they had to do. So necessarily, I guess it had to be a little bit slow. But as well, I just felt it had a little bit of that kind of the CW kind of.
Chris, no!
What?
Wow!
It was like young adult stuff, but with adults. They were also like, I don't know, it's just the relationship stuff. I found it a bit tedious. And
okay, interesting. I mean, it was a lot of feels, wasn't it? Oh, but I liked that. This is one of the most emotional Marvel films ever, right? do you not
it's too much for me. I'm sorry. It's too much.
Oh dear. Yes, I completely agree with you. It's so much world building to do because obviously it's the whole new, we've got Celestials, we've got Eternals, we've got Deviants. Haven't really seen much of them before. Obviously Guardians of the Galaxy kind of set that up with the what was the planet called that was ahead of Celestial?
Nowhere, right?
That's the one. And then we obviously saw them when they had the stones and they joined up. But yes.
That one was much more successful for me just to...
Well, that's because it had Carmody. The thing about... Okay, I'm going to say this now. Eternals didn't feel like a Marvel film. And whether that's a good or bad thing is still questionable, I think. For me, I'm glad that they've done something different. And I'm glad they've stepped away from the typical Marvel humour because it felt like they were kind of overdoing that now. And once you go into a Marvel film, you know what you're going to get. Whereas if you go into this, it was hugely different. And I think a lot of people were like, whoa, this is maybe too much to one time. I kind of feel
like, because it is supposed to be a universe, right? So they're building a cinematic universe here. Mm-hmm. So things do have to gel on some level. And you're right, it just didn't feel like one of the other Marvel films. It didn't really feel like it sits with any of them.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I thought it was very brave and very bold, and I did enjoy it. It is a difficult one. I really enjoyed how emotional it was and how, like, through the ages. And it was, like, basically looking at these people who were gods and how you live with humans who obviously will die.
The locations and stuff.
Oh, the locations. Stunning. So,
There were definitely good things about it. I liked a lot of the visuals. There were a couple of janky CGI moments, for sure, but I liked a lot of the visuals and stuff. Yeah, I also felt like it didn't end very well. Like, it just seemed to...
It did go into the sort of Marvel third act thing, didn't it? That they tend to...
it didn't go well. It didn't sort of end. Interesting. You know, it didn't end in a kind of fighting, kind of, ooh, that was fun kind of way. Mm. Just kind of petered out for me, maybe.
Okay. I thought the cast were great, though. What did you think of the cast? The
cast were good, yeah. Were they... I mean, they're great actors.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. It's just, I don't know, the casting felt a bit weird.
Okay, and, really? I loved, can I just say?
I saw it quite gelled.
I love Phastos and I loved Gilgamesh because they were not like your typical superheroes, you know, like chiseled abs and stuff. I liked that. They were a bit cuddly. I loved that. I loved how the actors were like, fuck that.
Yeah, they covered some different sort of...
It was the most inclusive cast, I would say, as well, which was fantastic. Yeah. I loved how they had different ties to... Obviously, there was a lot of Greek mythology in there, wasn't there? You can explain that a little bit more. And cultural references. Mayan, I think, was there? Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was good. I enjoyed all that.
What about the post-credit scene? I was
terrible.
Yeah.
Like, what was that little leprechaun thing?
Oh my gosh, who passed that?
Why was blah, blah, blah there?
Yes.
Know?
The first post-credit scene was just no for me. A big old no.
Yes. And then the second one, I'm not super into
I'm
that either.
Intrigued.
Sorry.
I'm very intrigued. I feel like obviously there was a voice. I'm not going to say who it was, but you didn't see them. So I was like, who is this voice? I actually had to Google it.
I know that everything is Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you have to be a little selective about what you include in the universe, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know? Because at a certain point you go, what's going on? Everything's happening. You're chucking different things in there, don't really necessarily gel well together. And it just becomes, I think, I'm worried that it's going to become a thing where it just doesn't work anymore.
I'm intrigued to see more Kit Harington as Dane Whitman, though.
That's just because you like Kit Harington.
I think it's intriguing to see. He's obviously going to be... He's a very Jon Snow character in this, but he's a bit more charismatic, right?
So, a bit more lively.
Yeah. Sure. So that'd be interesting. Oh, but Angelina Jolie is Thena, and then we had Mang Dongseok as Gilgamesh. That relationship was so sweet. How he sort of gave up everything to look after her because, you know, she had those moments. And...
Sure, they were nice.
It was
kind of nice in a... kind of a way, you know. It's like,
okay. The thing, I think the big takeaway from this though is the scale. How are the Avengers going to take on Celestials? Like at the end, you had the spoilers now. Spoiler warning. You had the big Celestial frozen, and I mean, just looking. I mean, unless you get just like Doctor Strange, Maximoff, Thor. I'm trying to think who else could possibly take. Obviously, Eternals, but.
I think they have to do that because you've always got to kind of level up.
True.
You can't.
Yeah.
If you don't, then it just feels like it's getting stale or going backwards or something. So you always kind of have to get, what can we do with our next villain? Okay, let's make him a freaking Celestial, you know? It'd be massively bigger than Thanos or whatever. Yeah, I like the idea of Celestials. I think that was one of the cooler things about the story of the...
Infinity Stones.
So, yeah.
Intrigued. We'll see.
Next. Amelie. We watched Amelie.
Yeah, because we went... We'll talk about this later, but we went to Paris. And so we felt like we should watch Amelie. What did you think? Have you seen it before?
I've seen it before. I'd completely forgotten it, to be honest with you. But I really enjoyed it, yeah. I love the way it's all, yeah, just the way it's told. It's really clever.
It's lovely. Yeah. It's very romantic as well, isn't it? I really like it. It's one of my favourite films. Oh, and I've been doing a Wes Anderson binge at the moment.
Indeed, yes.
So I watched Royal Tenenbaums for the first time, and it was really emotional. I know Wes Anderson does do...
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's really good. Yeah, I started, I watched about 5 minutes of that, and then the train... finished, so I need to go back to
finished.
It. The train finished. The train journey. Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I love. Oh, have you not? It's really good. Really good. And Grand Budapest Hotel, which I think is probably his best, I would
like
say.
That one a lot.
Cool. Okay. And doing.
Doing. All right. So we went to a Wheel of Time screening.
Oh, we did. Yes. Watched episode one.
Episode one.
When does the embargo lift? Was it the 19th?
It's not now.
No.
So we can't talk much about
no, we
it,
did. We did an initial thoughts on our Twitter account.
Do you want to read it out?
Sure. So pilot Wheel of Time immerses you with sweeping landscapes, a beautiful score from Lorne Balfe, and an intriguing fantasy quest. Definitely some real D&D vibes. Can't quite help but compare it to other shows, though.
Just leave that there.
And then said, coming to Amazon Prime Friday, 19th of November.
So yeah, we went to like, we saw Neil and Martin and Paul. DC yep. World Paul. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was fun. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah, obviously. So that was, there were some surprise guests too. Not Paul Rudd, as I hoped.
He was in London though, right?
He was. I think he was filming... filming Graham Norton. Right. But yes, we had director Jason Reitman and then his father Ivan Reitman.
Yes, the originals.
Yeah, they made him climb the stairs in the dark.
Did they?
Yeah, oh. Bless him. But yeah, there were lots of security to help him up, so that was nice. But yeah, that was a good surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was really nice to get to see something so far in advance.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, that's your thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if they do a screening that's like 2 days before the thing, you have to frantically kind of get your review done and everything, and then by the time you got it done, everyone else is seeing it anyway.
Yeah,
so it's
true.
Like, yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of breathing room.
Indeed.
Yeah, it was good. Enjoyed that one. And then we went to Paris.
Yes, just a small little thing.
Just a little thing
on the Eurostar.
Yeah.
Which was really good, actually. I loved it.
Yeah.
So much better than plane. Except for when kids blimmin' hit you with balloons and kick your seat, but then the balloon popped. Huh? I did not pop it. I just wanted to add that there, but I did have a little circle when it did pop. So what did we do in Paris then, Chris?
Right, we had, we went with Neil and Martin, personally, from Geico. We had one great day of weather.
Oh, it's gorgeous,
and
yeah.
We just sort of trekked around Paris and saw all the sights. And then we had one very wet day at Disneyland.
Yes.
But that was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was lovely. We finally saw Disneyland Paris at night when it was all lit up. We also saw a little, what are they called? Not carnival, walk through things. Processions? No.
Parade,
yes. Yes. And it was a dragon and there were fire. There was fire. And yes, it was really good.
Yeah, we only managed to do it because we planned to do, like, we'll do this ride and we'll do this ride.
Yes.
We managed to do about five because there were some massive queues.
Huge queues. But, it was very busy. It was half term. We stupidly went it.
We didn't do any of the difficult, we didn't do any of the, like, roller coasters or anything.
No. Although Pirates of the Caribbean was roller coaster enough for me.
Slide drop.
I forgot. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, Martin, hold me.
Yeah, I loved how you both got into the thing with the two other guys.
Oh,
you were like, oh, we're not getting in the front.
So you squeezed. We're like, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear.
That's funny. Yeah, it was good. And then we did another day where we did some film location spotting.
Yes.
So we saw some places. From Inception and Amelie, went to the
cafe
in Amelie. Yeah.
And last weekend, we went to London, didn't we? Surprise, surprise.
We
should probably live there now, we?
Met with a few friends for a drink in London. And any morning drink, so a coffee.
Yes. Very restrained.
Then saw the Eternals at the O2 Arena.
Super Screen. Yes, the balcony.
CZs, very rushed CZs.
Oh, gosh, yeah, super rushed CZs.
To get through the French. dispatch exhibition.
Yes.
That you wanted to see.
Which was adorable, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, you normally do not, like, do exhibitions at all, but even you were kind of intrigued. You're like, oh, look at the little miniatures.
Visual stuff and everything. I really loved that. So, and that's what he does. Isn't it?
Yes, visual. There was so much detail into everything, wasn't there?
Indeed.
Impressive. So you saw, like, all the costumes, some of the sets, even some of the, like, covers and things of the magazine. It was just, newspaper magazine publication, we shall say. It was just really well done. And then they had a little cafe at the end, yep. And they had a little cheeky hot chocolate and got a little magazine. And yeah, it was really sweet.
Took lots of pictures. We've also been playing D&D still. So that's with Nerds Chatting's Nate, Becca, and the Geekstalkers, Dave, Lou, Sammy, and Luke. We fought a dragon.
Yes. Attempted to fight a dragon. We weren't very good until you worked out what we needed to do.
Sure. And then we didn't defeat the dragon, but we did.
No. We hit the dragon.
We hit the dragon.
The dragon was like, fuck this. I'm out
here. Yeah. Good stuff. That is everything.
Oh, well, quickly talk about Disney Plus Day.
Okay.
Because Friday. Big takeaways from this. It sucked a little bit. Really, everyone was like really excited. They were like, oh my gosh, the Obi-Wan trailer's gonna... Nope. You just had a sort of behind the scenes, like...
A lot of it was just sort of retrospectives, wasn't it? Like,
yes.
Just sort of adverts for things that we've already had.
Yeah. A lot of logos coming out of this, wasn't it? Although there was like a little sizzle reel for Marvel. So we did see bits of Moon Knight and what the hell is Oscar Isaac's accent?
Sure.
That is very questionable. I am not sure about that, but it looks really good. I'm excited for it. But he's a bit like, all right, Mary Poppins sort of accent. Sure. I'm like, oh gosh. Saw a bit of She-Hulk, which I'm very excited about, as well as Miss Marvel. And also had a really weird news that there's going to be What If season 2, but also X-Men animated series has been relaunched, which is very exciting.
What does that mean? Like, it's just been...
I think it's the same cast, but they're doing a new story. Yes. Okay. Yeah, basically. And lots of so many series announced, which I think is a bit overkill, if you ask me. But yes, we'll see. And Disney, Pixar, there was a couple of interesting things, but nothing major really, was there? Baymax looks good. And looks very sweet.
Yeah, nothing really grabbed my attention to
it. No, I mean, the Pixar sizzle was very awkward, wasn't it?
When they're just walking around chatting to people.
Yeah.
The Willow one was sort of funny.
Yes, Willow.
That was a little bit as well. Sort of awkward funny.
Yeah. Will you watch Willow?
Yeah, sure. We watched that together at one point, didn't we?
We did. I really Willow. Oh, I forgot some films I watched.
What did you watch?
Just quickly, I watched Val. Sorry, talking about Willow. Obviously, Val Kilmer is in it. I watched the Val documentary, which was amazing, but so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very good documentary if you want to learn more about that. They went into Batman and Robin, and it was really sad because he said that was one of, like, obviously as a kid, you dream about being Batman. But when he was Batman, when he had the cowl on and the costume, it was so restricted and he couldn't hear anything. So when he had it on, he said it was like one of the loneliest moments in his life because people were talking around him and he couldn't hear. And eventually they stopped talking to you. And it was really sad. Yeah. And then I watched Electrical Life of Louis Wayne, Benedict Cumberbatch, about cats. And I thought this would be lovely. I liked it. Also, Claire Foy was in there. I liked it up until the point, and then it got really sad. And I was like, oh, this was quite wonderful. But it is nice. I loved all the cats. So there we are. Cool. And I think that's everything.
That should bloody well be everything, shouldn't it?
It should bloody well, shouldn't it? Sorry. Lots of talking. Okay, so on to the Ghostbusters Afterlife review then.
Woo!
Does Bustin make us feel good? Find out soon!
What is happening here?
Somehow, a town with no fault lines is shaking on a daily basis.
Maybe it's the apocalypse.
All right, guys, we were lucky enough to get to see an early screening of this movie 2 weeks before general release, so we're excited to get our spoiler-free thoughts out to you today for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
So directed by Jason Reitman, who is the son of the legendary Ivan Reitman, who obviously did the original classics. The synopsis for the film is, when a single mum and her two kids arrive in a small town, they begin to discover their connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy their grandfather left behind. This film stars a whole ton of people, right? So Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, who's been in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Captain Marvel, Kerry Coon, and then also, obviously, Paul Rudd.
Of course.
So what were your initial thoughts going in and coming out of the film then, Chris?
All right, well, going in, I'm always excited for a Ghostbusters movie. And I did watch a trailer for it, but I can't really remember what happened in the trailer. So I was pretty fresh going in. But then coming out, I really loved it. And it really is feels like a spiritual successor to the original movies. It does lean heavily into sort of nostalgia and some references and Easter eggs in there and stuff. So I feel like that's probably what you want. If you're a big fan of the originals, that's probably what you're after. So, yes. But there's enough new stuff in there for new people as well, I think. So. That's what I thought. What about you?
Yeah, completely agree with you. I had a lot of fun with this film. I thought it was really charming. As you said, it is very nostalgia fueled. So if you're sick of reboots and remakes and things, probably not one for you.
Probably.
But if you're a big fan of the originals, I think it would be a really nice and special moment for you to take your kids along with you, introduce them to like a new generation of Ghostbusters. And I think, yeah, that would just be quite special, really.
Indeed. So let's talk about characters and performances then, shall we?
Yeah, so okay.
All right. So it's a kid-led movie.
Definitely.
So it kind of has those strong 80s vibes, like, you know, those old movies, like you got Goonies and Gremlins and E.T. and all those kind of things. So it has that kind of vibe to it, which is really cool. But it still works for all age groups. Like it doesn't feel like it's a kid's movie, does it, really?
No.
It has enough for everyone in there, which is cool. There's a couple of cameos in there. We won't mention too much about that because we don't want to spoil anything.
Don't want to spoil anything, don't go on IMDb.
Yeah.
Because everyone is listed on there, so avoid.
Yes, but we will stick clear of going too far into anything that could be spoilery. But yeah, let's just go down the list sort of on IMDb of some of the main cast. So we got Finn Wolfhard as Trevor. He's kind of like the older kid, obviously the guy from Stranger Things. So,
yes.
And it's kind of like Stranger Things feels like a cousin of this movie in a lot of ways. Similar vibes. So he plays like one of the main kids in the story. He's like the older kid and he's kind of more interested in girls and cars and that sort of thing. But yeah, he's an excellent character.
Yeah. Well, he's hardly kind of in it, if I'm honest. But we'll talk about that why later. He is your typical teenager, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's sort of like trying to be cool, cocky older brother sort of thing.
Yeah.
I love the bit where the mum's taking them to school and he's like, pull over, don't want to be seen with you sort of thing. Sure. That made me laugh. But yeah, I kind of think he was there to really sort of attract the Stranger Things crowd, if I'm honest.
Maybe, yeah. Then we got McKenna Grace as Phoebe.
Yes.
So I'm really impressed with McKenna Grace. Like, she's 15. She's got 59 listings for actoring.
Actoring.
For actorizing.
That is mind-blowing. That really is, isn't it?
Yeah, nuts. And I recognize her as young Sabrina and young Carol Danvers. And she was also in Handmaid's Tale, which is interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's nuts. But yeah, she's probably the standout character in this movie.
Oh, for sure. She was completely the MVP and my favorite, yeah. I think.
Probably designed as the main character,
yes.
But she definitely stands out regardless. So she's like one of the main kids as well. And she's kind of the more different kid, you know, more interested in sort of science and everything.
Yeah.
Which makes sense given the story.
I didn't like that they really leaned into the stereotypical, oh, she's nerdy, she likes science, so she must have glasses and curly hair. I'm like, wow, thank you very much.
I don't know, I'm okay with that. It felt old school, it felt.
True, yeah. But I mean, like the whole, I'm not very good socially with people, but I did caveat
generally
that
true,
with.
Though, isn't it? Well,
maybe. I very much loved her dad jokes. They were fantastic.
They were great, yeah. There were some really good funnies in this movie.
Yes.
She had a lot of jokes, and the next guy, Logan King, Kim, as podcast, he was really funny as well. Like, kept narrating like the story really as it was happening.
Is this her
really...
death?
Yeah. It was like some of it was like exposition, but done in a really clever and funny way. So I thought it was really good. Yeah. So he's called Podcast because he has a podcast, of course.
Of course.
Obviously, we have a podcast. And I feel like they could have done this in such a way that it felt like a dig at people for doing podcasts
it was
and things.
Great.
But yeah, it was great. They kept it fun and respectful.
I find it funny then, because obviously there's been only murders in the building that has done the whole podcast thing, and they obviously take the mic. So they've got phones, and they're like, oh, this is like studio quality recording. And you're like, no, it's not. But yeah, the whole fact that he keeps going on about how he'll get good after, he really comes into his own after episode 46. Yeah. And, you know, he's got one subscriber.
Sure. Like us. Yeah. So it feels apt. Yeah. You know, I like that they did, because like a podcaster, what is a podcaster if not a fan of something, you know? And so it was kind of like, it was kind of a clever way of bringing fans into it as well.
It's funny though, because she's like, so what's your podcast about? And then he's like, science, supernatural mysteries. And then he's like, sometimes a restaurant review.
Yeah. It's true though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just chuck everything in there. Yes. So again, another one of the main kids in the story.
Yes. I think they had really fantastic chemistry though, didn't they? It was like the whole outsiders / misfits coming together to save the day. And
so each one has a sort of archetype. Like you were kind of alluding to earlier.
Yes.
So he's like more of the comedy relief, I guess, archetype.
But I think McKenna Grace really proved the heart of the film, actually.
Yeah.
And she was really fearless and very clever. Cleverer than Paul Rudd's character.
Indeed. Yeah. She covered a lot of the points, really.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we had Celeste O'Connor, kind of like the last of the main kids.
Yes.
In the poster, in the trailer and everything, as Lucky, did I say that? Lucky? So she's like the oldest one, and she kind of plays the love interest of one of the other characters. But other than that, she's not really...
Not very fleshed out, really, is she?
So yeah, it would have been nice to see her have more of a role, I think, but that's cool. Then, of course, we have some of the adult characters, like Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon. Paul Rudd, though.
Mr. Grubison.
Yeah, he was perfect. He was great in this.
He was so sort of goofy, laid-back teacher, playing wildly inappropriate horror videos, wheeling out the VHS for anyone who remembers that.
What was the first one? It was like a killer dog or something.
Like, he said something like Beethoven that went rabid and was trying to eat things. It's just really funny.
And that's so true as well. Like, I remember in school when a teacher hadn't prepared a lesson, they would just put a video on or something. It's funny. Carrie Coon was Callie, so she's the mother.
But is she the mother, really? It was more Phoebe the mother.
She played a sort of disillusioned character, didn't she? Like, she played it great. I thought it was great. That covers the main ensemble, I would say. Mm-hmm. So we can probably leave it there. I don't think we need to go into any others. Let's go into story then. Plot / story. So it's set in 2021, but with a very strong 80s vibe, and which I love. But they do this by setting it in a small kind of backwoods town in sort of Oklahoma.
Yes. I mean, it seems very disconnected to the sort of current world, doesn't it? I mean, they've got like the drive-in diner, they've got the old school cinemas. Spinners,
where they have roller skates.
Yes.
I don't know why. I was like trying to remember what. Yeah.
It's like its own bubble, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I think that's really clever how they kind of linked it to old school while being in a modern world. That's good. So I would say it starts with really strongly. We jump straight into like a chase scene, don't we? And like the shots and everything feels very, the way they flow, it feels very 80s movie, which I really love as well. Sort of has that kind of action, adventure, horror, 80s movie vibe, which is cool. And it just sets up the movie perfectly, I think. And you kind of know straight off the bat what the movie's kind of going to be, which is cool. Let you know what you're in for. Strong nostalgic vibes, I would say. Gets you pumped.
For sure, yeah.
From the start, which is good. Yeah,
it's a little bit creepy too, isn't it? There's there's little undertones of kind of horror elements there too, which I appreciated.
Horror elephants? Horror elements in there.
There were not horror elephants, sorry to say.
We'll just spoil that right now. Cool. And then we meet our main family. So that's a single mum we mentioned before and her two kids. And we follow their journey as they head to this small town and watch the story unfold from there. Don't want to go too much into what happens.
They sort of discover the mystery of their grandparent, don't they? Yeah. And by finding out secret things in the house. And obviously the proton packs come into play and the iconic car. And yes.
It definitely leans very strongly into nostalgia, but it definitely isn't a carbon copy either, the first movie.
I know that was one of your main issues with the later Star Wars.
Yeah, Force Awakens just felt like a carbon copy of Star Wars to me.
Whereas this is more, it's obviously got elements of it, and it's obviously very affectionate nods to it.
Yes.
But there's enough new stuff to sort of launch a whole new saga, I would think.
I would agree. Yeah, feels fresh despite having a lot of nostalgia and everything in it, which is cool.
So it's quite like goofy misfit comedy, isn't it? With horror elements, feel a bit sort of Goosebumps-esque. So as you said, there's plenty of Easter eggs and wider nods. There's a nice Baskins and Robbins one yeah. that you might spot sure. to keep fans happy. Whereas there are some nice little moments that aren't too scary, but I do, yeah. I did enjoy them.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, when you're making a movie like this, because you want to appease the fans, so you want to make it nostalgia-filled. But then there's a risk it can feel stale, like it's just doing the same thing. And then the other risk is you try to make it too original, and then the fans will hate it because it's not referencing the originals yeah. enough.
Sort of stuck between
the. You kind of have to do this really difficult balancing act. But I feel like this movie does it well. I don't think everyone will agree. I think everyone's going to have that line, aren't they?
And, yes, for sure.
And some people will think it went more in one direction or the other than they would hope. Anyway, yes, let's move on to sort of visuals, soundtrack, and score and stuff.
Okie dokie.
So there is a score in there.
Yeah.
I always miss the score. I don't know why. But yeah, it's kind of got, you kind of mentioned it has sort of horror style.
Sure. Lots of that. And then sure. lots of sort of loud jump noises.
That's true. Yeah. There are a couple of jump scares, I think.
Yes. So the score is by Rob Simonson. He's done quite a lot of stuff, actually. Stargirl, I think, is the latest one that he's worked on. Okay. But yes, definitely sort of the goosebumpy music. Horror vibes that you know you can tell it's just there's something sort of lurking there yeah it does the whole
sort of building suspense and stuff like that.
Yes yeah, exactly
good. We have the soundtrack, which the main theme obviously makes a return,
thankfully.
There's some other great tracks in there too, I feel. Yeah, it's like old school but also new stuff as well.
Yeah, McKenna Grace actually performs a song, I believe, on the
that's cool.
end credits.
So visuals.
Okay.
Yeah, so as we talked about, it's kind of like this modern times, but in an old school setting, which kind of really helps set the scene. We already mentioned about the diner and everything, but that really adds something, I think. But yeah, the photography, cinematography, color grading, all excellent. And then they have a really good mix of sort of practical, prosthetic, and CGI. And the CGI isn't too crazy. It doesn't go overboard or anything, which is important to me.
It feels fitting, yeah. I would say, yeah.
So, and then we got monster design, which is kind of, there's a lot of stuff from originals.
There is a new monster, I believe. Yeah,
very much based.
Yeah, it's very much in the vein of.
Yeah, works really well.
I think the balance was very good with practical and visual effects and sort of puppets. They very much seemed to hark back to the originals.
Something that I would mention, but I don't want to mention because it'd be a bit of a spoiler. But yeah, there was some practical effects and stuff in there, which was good. Should we mention Stay Puffed?
They're in the trailer, right?
They're in the trailer. Yeah. So you got these mini Stay Puffed things.
Oh, they're so cute.
And they really remind me of like Gremlins because they're really cute, but yet they're super mischievous and destructive, really.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah. Great. I feel they're brilliant. Just like a really nice addition.
Yeah, I really enjoyed obviously seeing the proton packs, the ghost traps. Yeah. There's like a little base that they have, which is quite sweet. It all feels very sort of homely and sort of worked upon, doesn't it?
I like that they went a bit more into the proton packs. Yeah. I felt that they actually kind of poked around inside them. We got a little bit of
explanation.
Some how it works and like the cyclotron and everything.
Yeah. And there's like a bit of an upgrade to the car as well.
Yeah.
And there's some really, really good chase scenes as well with the car, which I really enjoyed. And I'm just going to say the editing is really well done, I would say, too.
Excellent, yeah.
It feels a bit Edgar Wright with the editing. It feels quite cutty, but well done.
Okay.
I would say quite choppy and quite fast edited.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Cool. So let's do it then. Verdict, rating. How would you rate this movie?
Wow. I think it's really fun, really full of charm, and like a really nice affectionate nod to the originals. Is it enough of its own to warrant more? I definitely think that's going to be a big old question when it comes out. But personally, I had such a blast with it. I would give it 4 out of 5 stars or 2 thumbs up. I do have to caveat that I am a little disappointed that there wasn't like a little nod to the 2016 version.
Yeah, I liked that version. I think it didn't have the same. I think that went too far in trying to do something a bit new.
Yeah.
and kind of lost that original vibe. But I enjoyed it as a fun movie. Thought it was good. For this one, yeah, I think if you love the originals and are looking for a nostalgia kick, if you enjoy 80s movies, vibes in general, and busting makes you feel good, then I think you'll have a great time with this movie. And yeah, it's definitely worth watch in my book. I would give it 2 thumbs up, and I'm excited to watch it again.
Cool. Yeah. So when's it out in general release, Chris?
So it's 18th, isn't it, of November in the UK. I think it might be 17th of November in the US.
Would recommend.
The Dark One is waking. But there will be one who can stand against him. And it's one of the five of you.
You've fully lost your mind.
Your life isn't going to be what you thought. What are those? His army is coming.
As it's our 150th episode, we've got something special for you Wheel of Time fans. So I was super lucky to be invited to the blue carpet for the world premiere of The Wheel of Time and interviewed stars Joshua Stavsky, who plays Rand, and Daniel Henney, who plays Lan, along with interviewing the director, showrunner, and executive producer. A huge thanks to Amazon Prime Video for the invite, and I really do hope you enjoy these interviews. First of all, how are you? I mean, this is amazing.
Oh, thanks for asking. I haven't been asked that yet tonight. I'm nervous. I'm excited. It feels like it's time. But yeah, there's a lot of words I could use to describe how I feel.
So Lan's obviously a badass fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did you take to sort of train and do the swords?
We're supposed to be 9 months.
I'm still doing it.
Really?
I'm still doing it. I go to work every day hoping that I can do him justice. He's written so beautifully and so in such an understated way. That it's sometimes as an actor it's a challenge to dig in there and find what you can grab from him, and he's a living person now with me, and so it's different. You have to find ways to tackle that, but it's been a beautiful journey.
Yeah, and he's got quite a mysterious background.
Yeah.
Was that fun sort of exploring?
I think so. I try to connect my family to it in ways. I mean, Lan was raised by warriors. My mom is a Korean adoptee. She was an orphan. And she's very much a warrior too. My father was a Vietnam veteran. So I can connect in those ways. I know what it's like to sort of long for who your family is. And I think he has that, and my mom has it as well. So yeah, it's been a real beautiful experience.
Well,
we wrote a scene for Lan that is not in the books that we thought was necessary to show how deep the relationship between the warden and the Aes Sedai goes. And it was something to do with his relationships in his life, and it was very challenging for me. And it was also challenging because I was questioning whether it was right for us to do, but having done it, in retrospect, I know that it was. And it cements a lot for him. But that was one of my favorite moments, and that was episode 5. So I'm excited for fans to see it.
Are you reading the books?
I am reading the books, yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, I've started again, because I read Eye of the World when I first got it. I got up to Dragon Reborn and then read Loosebrick. And now I'm going really slowly through Eye of the World because of all the press we're doing. And I just want to make sure I'm on point with that. I just bought another copy of Eye of the World today in Notting Hill, because Notting Hill is one of my favorite movies. And I went to the bookshop and I got Eye of the World. And it's got bigger print because, like, the one I have is so small. And but no, we're all kind of on different tracks with the books. He's the first, I think.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yes, very excited to see it on the big screen. I think this might even be the biggest screen that I've seen it so far. Yes, you know, so it's very exciting also to see it with an audience, you know, so I can't wait to, yeah, see with an audience and hear how the audience will respond to it.
It's such a stunning show. I mean, the filming locations. How did you sort of pin down where to, like, shoot it?
Well, we always knew that Prague would be our production hub, you know. And there's so many wonderful, you know, like, landscapes around Prague in that area. And also, you know, it puts us in the center of Europe to hop easily to other countries and take advantage, you know, of the beautiful landscape we find in other countries. For instance, the pilot also shoots in Slovenia, you know, in the Soča Valley, which is absolutely gorgeous. And it was a quick thing for us to get there.
So how was it bringing such a big and beloved cast and also a book to screen?
Obviously, I think all the characters have great chemistry with each other. You know, the friends, you know, and then Rosamund Pike with Daniel, you know, they're just amazing together. And I think, you know, it's very good casting. We had a fantastic casting agent, and just kudos to them being just amazing human beings as well, besides being great actors.
And then do you have a favorite moment from the series that you're really excited for everyone to see?
A favorite scene, and then I think I'm very excited about the last 20 minutes of the pilot.
And is it such a big fantasy thing, obviously it's great to finally see women in leading roles.
Yes.
Was that one of the biggest draws for you for the series?
Needless to say, it gave me a lot of pleasure showing women, you know, like in a way that they most of the time do not get portrayed, you know, have not been portrayed in the past, where they're very often the damsel in distress and need to be rescued, but they're actually the ones also doing the battling and holding the power and using it in a wise way. So that was thrilling, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. I'm good. How are you? I mean, look at this premiere.
I'm very good. Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Yeah, really. So obviously there's so much excitement for the series. How did you approach playing such a beloved character?
Well, I first had, that was my main source, was the script. And then I had so much material and those were the books. So that's what I went with. And then there was a lot of other prepping to be done, like horse riding and sword fighting and archery and, you know, trying to get the dialect down. And so there was a lot of prepping, but at first it was first the script and then the books.
And then what was the moment where you thought this is like something special, you know, when you were filming?
Even before I started shooting, like, well, you know, they bought an old factory in Prague and they built that into the Jordan Studios. And even walking around there, I realized, well, the scale of this production is huge. And then walking onto set the first day and that they built the Two Rivers, that's when I realized not only the scale is huge, but the quality is all around, like all the departments. And that just raises the bar for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. How are you getting on with the books? I know a lot of fans have asked me about how you're getting
11 now. Wow. I tried to read them all.
There's so much like fantasy elements to love. How much fun was it just to delve into as well?
Sorry?
How much fun was it just to delve into all the fantasy? As you said, the horse riding, did you actually do a lot of training?
Yeah, we had 1 month that was 1 month of prep that was kind of like a boot camp month. And that's when we got the scripts and we all started reading the books, and we had 2 hours of stunt training every day, had archery training, and no one knew how to ride a horse, so we had horse riding, and that was just 1 month, and that's also was also the time where we really bonded as a group.
Did you have a couple of like pinch me moments at all?
Or? Even today, like, yeah, it's still going on, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, I will say that Rafe has always had a very, very clear vision of what he wanted, and so it translated really beautifully to screen.
Yeah, and well, you know, actually, AK and I, the first, when we got the pickup to start working on the series, the first thing we did is AK and I was like, I need the best writer I know, who's AK Schumann. We went on a plane together to an unknown destination. And spent 2 weeks just going through that first book and breaking it down and like, what are the key elements? What do you as a non-book fan love? What do I as a book fan feel like has to be there to keep setting up things for the future? And so the two of us kind of having that balance of how we approach the material is really like how we built it from the beginning.
What initially sort of drew you to the project? Because it's such a beloved book, isn't it? Were you a bit nervous and apprehensive to tackle it, or?
I mean, for me, I was a fan of the books. I read them with my mom when I was younger, so, you know, I've always loved the books and, like, knew them very, very intimately. And AK, I'm not sure why you wanted to come to the Wheel of Time. How did we snag
you? Obviously because of Rafe. Rafe sent me the first 3 books, I think.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with them too. And at first I was incredibly intimidated because they're so long. And I was like, what have I signed on for? But I absolutely fell in love with them and we're so proud of the show we made. And we hope that both fans of the books are really happy and people that haven't read the books can enjoy it just as much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
ideas at the beginning of like, this is what we need the feeling of this to be. This is what, you know, these are elements of it, you know, and Sarah Nakamura, our researcher, who's amazing, has read the books 30 times, would, you know, pull the list of all the details that are really important. And then we have these amazing artists on the show.
Andre,
who did the sets, who would bring, you know, like if a show is good, it means people are bringing their own artistry to it and finding ways to like lift what you already see it to be. And so Andre and Issy, who did production design and costumes, like Issy, we knew we wanted something weirdly ecclesiastical for, you know, that had some kind of like religious undertone to it for the white cloaks. And then she developed this amazing thing. And we were like, you know, balance is important in the show, so imbalance is where we see a lot of like evil or antagonistic forces. And so she created these like costumes that are super asymmetrical. So there's so much thought that goes into every tiny little thing on the show.
Must make me feel good.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. Sorry we just waffle on, but there was lots of things we had to catch up on.
Indeed.
And yeah, if you would like to get in contact with us to let us know what you've been watching and doing, and if you've been watching Critical Role or anything, playing any D&D, how do you go about doing that then, Chris?
Right, well, we're on Instagram and Facebook at We Have a Hulk Pod. We're also on Twitter at We Have a Hulk. That's probably where we're most active. You can check out some of Nicola's writings. So that's sort of TV and movie news, reviews and features. At wehavehonk.co.uk. We also have a shop there. If you want to support us, you can buy a t-shirt or something.
Buy a t-shirt or a pin, please.
Yeah. Thank you. That's everything, I think.
We also have a YouTube channel.
Well, we do have a YouTube channel.
That Chris has started uploading things to.
Yes, so we're doing some reviews on YouTube now, and it's mostly just stuff from our podcast, so if you're listening to this, you probably won't want to check those out. But you can see our lovely faces if you wanted to.
True.
Yeah, so we've got a few of our bigger reviews and just pick out a few of the little things that we say in our Home with the Hulks, if they're worthy going on there, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to be talking about in the next one, there's probably lots of things, but our main one will probably be Hawkeye, Disney Plus series, maybe. Yeah,
cool, sounds good.
And then Christmas time. Oh, so exciting. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so once again, thank you so much for listening. I hope to see you next time. Bye.